They're small and cuddly, and they're a great help in the garden. They're guinea pigs, the tiniest of livestock.
Welcome to the Homesteading Roller Coaster. My name is Ilaria, and in this podcast, I share my family's adventures on Tatum Hills Farm, our property on Ngunnawal Country, just outside of Canberra, Australia. We would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise the continuing connection to land, waters and culture. We pay our respects to their elders, past, present and emerging. In this podcast, we discuss anything to do with farm life, homesteading, sustainable living, growing your own and much more. So let's get started.
As a child, while growing up in Italy, I had a guinea pig called Rosina. I was only 3 or 4 years old and I loved her dearly, but thinking back now, she probably didn't have the happiest of lives. We lived in an apartment and so she also had pretty small living quarters and certainly she wasn't scurrying around on grass. Meanwhile, all the way across the ocean in Australia, my partner Damien was also growing up and he also had some pet guinea pigs. He's had a lot more space and a lot more grass, and apparently they bred kind of uncontrollably as well, so they ended up taking some to the local pet shop to try and control the population. But he also, thinking back now, thinks that they probably didn't have the best life. They were still in hutches and quite confined. So strangely, we both had this dream of having guinea pigs that could range on a much bigger space. Once early in our relationship, way before we had children, way before we moved to the country, we went to our local zoo. And there in a large enclosure inhabited by some small monkeys were a whole colony of guinea pigs. So the monkeys would live up on the higher areas of the enclosure and eat fruit, but they would waste a lot of fruit and drop it to the ground. And so that's why the guinea pigs were there. They were there to clean up all the fruit the monkeys dropped. And it was probably maybe 20 square meters. So it wasn't a huge space, but it was certainly a way bigger space than we had ever seen guinea pigs live in. And that day we thought, wouldn't it be lovely one day to have enough room to be able to have sort of semi free ranging guinea pigs. So fast track many years, we moved to our property and we built a very large orchard and chicken pen. So we have now 800 square meters that are fox proof, so predator proof and enclosed. And pretty quickly we thought that would be a fantastic place for guinea pigs. And that's how more recent adventure with these cute little animals started. We went to the local shelter and we adopted two guinea pigs. They assured us there were two girls and they were quite impressed how when they put them together, they were in separate cages originally, they seemed to really take to each other right away. Well, a couple of months later, the reason why these two guinea pigs loved each other so much became pretty clear. One of them was in fact a girl, so much so that she was actually pregnant when we got her, but not pregnant enough for anybody to know. And so their pregnancy is a couple of months, so about a month and a half after we got her, she dished out two babies. And the other guinea pig wasn't a girl at all, and he was pretty happy to see that his girlfriend was finally free, so pretty much immediately got her pregnant again. And so once the first guinea pig, Sage, the girl, started to get fat again, we realized that her friend Courtney was in fact Carlos, and he got escorted to his separate area pretty quickly. But from that, we got five more. From that second pregnancy, we got five more guinea pigs. So pretty quickly from the original two, we had one birth of two and then a further seven. About a further five. So we ended up with 10 guinea pigs within less than 6 months of adopting our first lot. So that was quite a learning curve. Now, luckily, as I said, they were in a very large space, but when we realized that we actually had two different genders, we had to put up some barriers. So today, our guinea pigs don't fully free range the 800 square meters. The area is divided up into two areas, one for the girls and one for the boys. Although that hasn't always worked well, for a while we had one young lady by the name of Fifi who learned to climb the small fences that we had put between the two sides, and so she ended up with the boys multiple times with the results you can imagine. So we've had a fluctuating population of guinea pigs going between about 10 and 20. And we've been very lucky to find good homes for a lot of them, but I will talk a little bit about selling guinea pigs later. In the end, I just don't think it's worth the trouble, especially if you have enough room for them as we do. So over the years, we've had all these piggies and we've really learned to love them and to see how they function in a more rural environment, if you will. So normally, the majority of people who own guinea pigs, they have them in a really small hutch inside, or if they're really lucky, they might have an equally small hutch, but outside, so at least they get some fresh grass. And certainly that's how our guinea pigs lived when we were young. But now, having seen how they function in a larger space and how they go outside, I would really encourage you to entertain the idea of having free-ranging guinea pigs. When I say free-ranging, I don't mean actually free-ranging. These are tiny little critters and they're obviously very vulnerable to a wide variety of predators. Here in Australia, where we are, we've got foxes and we have hawks and I guess eagles as well. I mean, we do have eagles, but to be honest, I don't know if an eagle would bother coming all the way down just for a guinea pig, but certainly foxes and hawks would get them quite happily. So it is important that you house your guinea pigs in a predator-proof enclosure. But having said that, it's not very hard to build, and once you've got them set up properly, they're actually a fantastic asset to any garden or homestead, and they are really, really easy maintenance. So why would you consider having guinea pigs? Well, first of all, they make fantastic little pets. They're good for small children because they're small enough for little kids to handle, but of course, just like any small animal that you put in the hands of a small child, it's important that you supervise. Guinea pigs are tiny and they can easily be injured by clumsy kids' hands. So although it's fine to have them interact, it's really important that you have them very carefully supervised. We run tours on our farm and kids who visit regularly cuddle our guinea pigs. We actually have little pouches made out of fleece where the guinea pigs feel nice and secure and where their little claws don't accidentally scratch the kids. So we put the guinea pigs in the pouches and then it's so much easier and safer for the kids to pat them and cuddle them when the guinea pigs are in the pouch. So if you're looking at having kids cuddling the guinea pigs, I would definitely recommend you make or get yourself some pouches. It can just be, you know, a towel cuddled up, just anything where the guinea pig can feel nice and snuggled up and where it's also contained and so it doesn't scramble to get away. So they make great pets. You will need to catch them first. So they're not the kind of pet that will run and greet you. In our experience, if they're given enough room, they will come and say hello when you bring them food, but they won't come so close that you'll be able to catch them. So it's important that you don't chase them around. What we do if we want to catch them, we have a small enclosure, like about 1 square meter, or possibly even less, and we just feed them in there. They go in that enclosure, we lock them in there, and then we catch them once they're in a confined space. But we have a strict rule to never ever chase them in a large space. It would be really hard to catch them. They're super fast and they go inside little small holes and you will stress them out really, really badly. So they can even die of heart attack from being stressed out. So just train them to eat their food in a small area so that if you ever need to catch them, you can just feed them in there, lock them up and then grab them. And that is much easier and less stressful for everybody involved. So as well as being lovely pets, they're adorable. They're just so cute. All the different colors and types of fur. There is long fur, there is scruffy fur, there is smooth fur. But also they produce a ton of manure. Now that's another reason why I think it is a great idea to have guinea pigs on a large space. It is much nicer for them. They'll have a much better time, but it is also much nicer for you because they produce so much manure that if you have them confined in a small space, you literally need to clean them up every single day. Otherwise, before you know it, in the space of a couple of days, they will just be living on their poo constantly. And that, of course, is not very good for them. The other amazing thing about them is that they basically cost nothing to feed, especially if you have a garden, even a small one. We feed ours mostly scraps from the kitchen and the garden. We also break branches from apple trees and other fruit trees to give to them, and that keeps their teeth in good shape. And other than that, because they're in a large area, they just eat the grass and the other plants that they find there. We do provide them with hay, especially in winter, and that is partially for food, but also for shelter, so to keep them nice and warm. We put a lot of hay. So their housing is really not very complicated. It can be any form of shelter. You know, at a pinch, you can even use a cardboard box, although of course you'd have to replace it if it's raining. So ideally you want something a little bit sturdier that is going to withstand the elements. Where we are, temperatures are never too cold. We range from about a maximum of 45 degrees Celsius, which happens rarely in the summer, to a minimum of minus 8 degrees Celsius, which happens obviously in the depth of winter, and it doesn't happen very often either. Mostly we're more between 35 and maybe minus 5. And we find that the way we keep them, they seem to do well all year round outside here. So what we have for them, first of all, is a lot of room. And I always think that if an animal has a lot of space, it has a better chance of finding itself the specific spot that it needs to withstand whatever weather is coming. But of course, in that space, you need to provide shelter. So we have lots of bushes and other natural hidey holes where they can go. Plus, we have a number of hutches, which are the typical guinea pig and rabbit hutches that you can buy. We mostly find them secondhand or at the tip shop, so at the rubbish disposal place. People put them there for other people to grab for free or next to nothing, and that's a really great resource. They're not super sturdy, they only last a few years and then they fall apart, but while they last, they're certainly rainproof. The other thing that we have for them, which I find is the best shelter for the guinea pigs, is dog kennels, plastic dog kennels. So I just buy them again from the tip shop, so the people have them and they don't need them anymore. They take them to the rubbish disposal place and they can put them in an area where other people can grab them. So it's not in with all the rubbish, is sort of in a almost a shop area. Basically, you can find them probably at your local op shop or wherever. But it is really good because, first of all, I'm recycling or repurposing a giant plastic item. It costs me next to nothing. I think I usually pay $5 for them. I bought 5 or 6 10 years ago and they're still going strong. I don't see replacing them pretty much ever. And also what I do with them, so these are small dog kennels, so they're not very big. They're probably only about knee high. But what I actually do with them, because the guinea pigs are so small, I split them into two. So the majority of them have two separate parts, one for the base and one for the top, for the roof. So you can split those up. So you can take the roof and put it on the ground and it will create a little house for the guinea pigs with a base on the ground as base. And then you take the bottom part of the kennel and you flip it upside down. So that creates another shelter. And so from each kennel, you can easily get two shelters. And I find those are more effective for a number of reasons. First of all, they're on the ground. That means that once the guinea pigs have spent a lot of time in there and they've soiled that area, you don't really need to clean it. You can just move the shelter elsewhere and that area will just naturally compost away. Secondly, they're quite small, so it's easier for you to pack them with hay and they can get very snug in there. And I think that way they stay warmer rather than if you had a bigger and more open kennel. So I think that works well for them. And of course, that means that you basically get two for the price of one. Our guinea pigs live with our chickens, so occasionally our chickens like to go and lay in their in those shelters, and that's totally fine. But mostly I think the chickens find it a little bit tricky to squeeze inside. The chickens prefer the same kennels but assembled, so the top and bottom, so we have some of those as well. But certainly the guinea pigs like them low down to the ground. They feel more sheltered, I think. So we just have a bunch of those scattered around and we fill them with hay, and when they're dirty we just move them to another spot and fill them with hay. And that is just so easy. And they have, even though our pen is covered above and there are no aerial predators, the guinea pigs have a very strong instinct of hiding into holes. So we scatter these shelters all around the pen so that they feel more secure. They can scurry from one to the other and they don't have to spend time in the open if they don't want to. When we feed them, we throw just chicken scraps that we give to the chickens, so kitchen scraps and garden scraps to them, and you'll see the first thing they do, they'll come out and grab it and just bring it into their shelter, and that way they can eat it there in peace. So that seems to really work well for them, and that's really all of the housing they need, provided that the area in which your kennels are is already predator proof. So we have, like I said, our chicken pen. So go back and listen to one of my previous episodes about keeping chickens and it will explain how we have built our predator-proof enclosure. However, that will depend on where you live and what kind of predators you have to deal with. So we just have wire all around and down to the ground and above, and that seems to work for us. And like I said, there's more detail in the chicken episode, but you may need to modify that design to make sure that it works for your particular predators in your area. As well as food, of course, you also need to provide fresh water at all times. To be honest, I don't see them drink very much at all. I've seen them drink if they're really, really old and they're starting to feel not so great, or maybe they're having some trouble eating. So usually if the weather is fine, not too hot, and they're drinking, that might mean that either they're really old and they're sort of starting to have a bit of a decline, or if they're young and they're drinking, there may be something wrong with them and you might want to check them. I've also seen them drink last summer when we had 45 degree peaks. So obviously it was very, very hot, and at that point they were drinking, and thank goodness for that. But otherwise, most of the time they get their water from their food, especially if you're feeding them loads and loads of fresh food. If they're more on hay and pellets, then they might need a little bit extra water. You can give them water with those dripper bottles that a lot of hutches have. We find that is, I don't know, it just looks frustrating, and I don't never know if they're getting enough water, so I just give them bowls. They do tend to wee and poo in the bowls, so you have to clean it and replenish the water every day, but you would want to do that anyway. I've now actually found a bowl that is much bigger, and I mean, I've never seen them wee and poo in there. I'd like to see how they do that. That just seems like really complicated, because the bowls are quite high, but somehow clearly they manage. Now I've got a bigger bowl that is not any higher, but is wider, and they don't seem to be fouling that one. So whatever method they were using for weeing and pooing in the previous bowls, they don't seem to be able to apply it to this one. So that's great, because it's a little bit bigger and I don't have to replenish it every day. I can go 2 or 3 days or so. It's just a little bit less work for me. But certainly something that you want to check every day and make sure they have water. Other than that, Like I said, their maintenance is very easy, but you do want to keep an eye on them in general. I mean, just with every pet, you want to keep an eye on their general health. Sometimes it would be easier to have them in a smaller environment so you can monitor them more closely. So I guess we don't manage to keep as close an eye on our guinea pigs, but and their nails, sometimes they might get a little bit longer, but most of the time ours are running around so much, so their nails are pretty under control. If you need to, you can just use a nail clipper for humans and trim them a little bit. The other thing that you need to be aware of is their teeth. They have teeth like a rabbit, and they grow continuously. So it's important to keep an eye on them. They are naturally very long, but if they get too long, you might want to have them seen. We have seen our local vet, again, use nail trimmers to just trim the very tip of their teeth. But if you do that, they're going to end up quite sharp and you might want to file them off. So if you've never done it, I think it's best if that would be really a vet job. Having said that, it is tricky because just like with most animals that are not dogs, cats and horses, vets, at least around here, don't seem to have much of a clue. So we used to have this really experienced vet that I mentioned, and she was great. Unfortunately, she's no longer working. So see if you can find somebody who is well-versed in guinea pigs, and it might not have to be a vet. It might just have to be a breeder or another experienced owner who can show you how to take care of them. Other than the teeth and the nails, the only other issues that we've had has been a couple of times we've had abscesses. One, we took it to the vet and it actually still passed away. And another one, we cured it ourselves and it worked quite well. So with abscesses, the only real cure is to lance them and then antibiotics. So with the first one, we took it to the vet, we gave it antibiotics, and the vet cleaned it and lanced it and did all of that. But unfortunately, I think maybe it was too late by the time we realized, and he was already quite far gone. With the other one, we actually did it in-house and it worked quite well, surprisingly. It did take quite some time, so we have a spray that we use for ourselves, which is both a disinfectant and a slight anesthetic. So we use that to numb the area a little bit, and then it was very easy to lance it because it was just about ready to pop. Sorry, very gross. But basically, we would put gloves on and we would numb the area and disinfect it really thoroughly and clean it really, really well. And we did that every couple of days for about a month until eventually it stopped coming back. So it took a really long time. That one, we didn't actually apply any antibiotics. We had antibiotic creams and we added those, but we didn't have any by mouth or injection antibiotics. The only one we have is penicillin, and we actually looked it up and apparently that's not suitable for guinea pigs. Plus the dosage was quite a huge question mark because they're so tiny. And so we thought we had just about the same chances of killing them from overdose or misdose or the wrong drug than we had to kill them from the abscess. So we thought we'd go without and do everything we could externally, and it seems to have worked. So that one, his name was George. He's now passed away, but passed away from old age much later after the abscess was well and truly resolved. So he did survive for quite some time after we fixed up his abscess, but it did take some time. So the abscesses, we've only ever seen them in the boys. We do have lots of boys that live together, and even though the space is really huge, occasionally they have a little territorial fight. And so if they bite each other, and because we're not handling them every day, they can get an infection, and that then turns into an abscess. And you only realize there's something going wrong when the fur is wet from the abscess. If you're handling your guinea pigs every day, you probably notice it much sooner, which is obviously better. I guess for us, it is a bit of a trade-off. They have as happy and wild a life and completely, you know, unhassled by humans. And the downside is that sometimes we don't pick up issues quite as quickly as we could otherwise. But that has only, like I said, happened twice in 10 years of having dozens and dozens of guinea pigs. So I don't feel that is a huge risk. The other thing that we've had happen, and that again has only happened once in 10 years, has been what we think was a straw poke. So one of our girls, Samantha, who's still there, she's one of our seniors, she ended up having an eye that suddenly just looked really weepy and really horrible and white, and we weren't sure what it was. And so we just applied antibiotic ointment to the eye. It's a human preparation that you can buy over the counter, and over time, and that came good pretty quickly. To be fully honest, I don't think she can see from that eye. I think she lost the use of that eye, but it doesn't seem to bother her at all. They mostly function by smell, and she can still see fine from the other side. And she's over 6 years old, which is very old for a guinea pig, and she's doing great. So again, she came good from that. Speaking of eyes and eye infections, I think if you talk to people about keeping guinea pigs with chickens, most people will tell you that is a bad idea, and that is because of the chicken manure can irritate the airways and the eyes of the guinea pigs. And I think that is definitely true. And I think the reason why we're able to get away with our setup is, again, because we have so much space. So because there's so much room, it's not all soiled by the guinea pigs or the chickens. And so there is plenty of clean areas for the animals to go, so they don't have to stay on top of the poo. And that really helps. So they just seem to do quite well in that setup. And also having them with the chickens, I find it's a really great synergy for really circling your garden and kitchen waste. We find that the scraps that the chickens don't eat, the guinea pigs love, especially the harder things like the broccoli stalks or the capsicum tops. The capsicum are red peppers. The capsicum tops. So the guinea pigs really love those, and the chickens don't seem to eat them. And so it's a perfect complementary situation. Oh, banana peels is the other thing. The guinea pigs love those, and it's really good for them. Same with the capsicum tops. Bananas, of course, have got lots of vitamins and potassium, and the capsicums have got vitamin C, which the guinea pigs need quite a good supply of. So those are great things for them to eat, and the chickens normally don't touch them. So this way, we don't have to separate different scraps that different animals will eat. We'll just pour them all out, and then they just go and find whatever they prefer. So that works really well. And they don't seem to fight over the food at all. The chickens really accept them and don't peck them, don't chase them, nothing. They just accept them as part of the landscape. So that works really well for us. So I hope I've given you a different idea of how you can keep guinea pigs. They are just adorable. They're easy to keep as long as you keep them predator proof. They're easy to feed, very cheap. They're great for your garden. Really, what's not to love about them? To be super fair, they're also very easy to breed, and potentially you can eat them. They certainly get eaten in South America. Personally, we don't eat any of our animals. In fact, we don't eat meat at all. And so it's not something we would look into. But I can certainly see how you could get into that, because they breed very easily and very quickly. Like I said, within 2 months, the gestation is only 2 months, and they breed very young. So the females start breeding at 5 months. The boys supposedly start breeding at 3 weeks of age. So we've never tested that. We tend to separate them off from mum pretty quickly. But that's certainly, you know, if you're into breeding them, they do breed fast. Oh, one more thing. I did mention selling guinea pigs a little bit earlier. Now, we did do that. We have sold multiple guinea pigs. When they're 3 weeks old, they can be separated from mum and they can be sold. Normally, we tend to leave the girls with mum a little bit longer, but we do take the boys out in case they do, in fact, can start breeding at that age already. They're adorable when they're born. They're fully furred up, eyes open. They can walk. They're just perfect miniature adults. They're just absolutely gorgeous. But we have found that for us, it's not really worth selling them. We have sold them a little bit, but honestly, the most you can get for a guinea pig is about $25-$30, and that's already a pretty high price. And because we always want to make sure that all of our animals go to suitable homes, It does take me a lot of time messaging people back and forth and calling them and sending them pictures and asking for pictures of their enclosures, just because most people think that it's okay to keep a guinea pig in 1 square meter. And while they certainly adapted to that kind of lifestyle, we didn't think that's a good idea, and we certainly don't want to sell our guinea pigs to anyone who's going to keep them in such a small space. So for us, it always takes a lot of back and forth and a lot of education and explanation with people to make sure that if we sell our babies, they go to a large enough and safe enough environment. So for that reason, it takes me hours and hours on the phone to sell 2 guinea pigs for a maximum of $60. It just really isn't worth it. And given that pretty much all of our pregnancies have been accidental, we don't have such a crazy population. And because we have so much room, having 5 guinea pigs more or less, it is not a big problem. Certainly if they bred completely out of control, so if you didn't keep the boys and the girls separate, you would probably want to really start selling them or eating them or doing something with them, because their population would increase exponentially pretty much. So, but if you keep your boys and girls separate, I don't think you need to worry. But certainly, for example, it could be a good source of income for a child. Also, one thing that we wanted to do and never got around to was actually doing breeding on purpose to learn about genetics. You know, if you have a black guinea pig and you put it with a white guinea pig, what color will the babies be? And try to figure out the genetic, how the genes work for the fur color and the fur type, just by looking at the babies. And also, you can have guinea pigs with black eyes or with red eyes. So there's quite a variability there, and it could be a nice project for a child. But please, again, if your children are selling the guinea pigs, make sure that they ask all the right questions to make sure that the little guys always go to a nice home where they'll be not just loved, but also given a sufficient amount of space for them to live a happy and healthy and hopefully long life.
And that's it for another episode of the Homesteading Roller Coaster. If you enjoyed the content, we'd love it if you subscribed. We'd also really appreciate a rating and review on your podcast platform, or send us a message. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Tatum Hills Farm. That's T-A-T-U-M Hills Farm, or on our website at www.tatumhillsfarm.com.au. Thank you for listening. Bye.